Adam, I hope you all could feel the beauty that I could see. To look at the saints of God's faces. Like, this is the best place to have. I don't really want to be here, but oh my goodness, to look upon you is such a joy. I ask that you continue to pray. I need your prayers. You need your prayers. I'm praying for you. What we have before us at this moment is a great need. It's one that I am painfully aware of at times, more so than at sometimes at others, because I know how much I need the Lord. We sang songs this morning that preach to me, and that's what the song service is supposed to do. Teaching and admonishing one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you have taught me, you have preached to me in the song selection, in the spirit in which you sang. And I'll tell you, the Lord spoke to me. I fully believe this morning. I don't know if it's not just me. I hope it's not just me. But any of you ever go to bed with one thought and then wake up with something completely different? And then you start to wrestle with it. Is it of the Lord? Is it of me? Is the new one of the Lord and the old one of me? Vice versa? I don't know. And then you come to the house of God. And people start singing songs. And it's like, if you're listening, the Lord is saying, here it is. And I'm praying that that's the case. And I would like to turn with you, if you would. That's been fun. to the 2 Corinthians letter. And verse 17. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. There's a lot of verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. I woke up this morning before the alarm clock went off. And I don't like doing that. I really prefer to get to the full sleep, but I didn't. I woke up this morning and said 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul, as he's writing this letter, uses like the understatement of history here. Our light affliction. I know that my afflictions in my life are light. Comparatively speaking, I am so blessed in so many ways that any troubles that plague me, I know, just don't compare. I can't bring them up to many of you in this room, much less bring them up and compare them side by side with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul here says, he doesn't, before I say this, I want to point out that I don't try to compare them. I think I've figured out a long time ago when I've probably flubbed it up pretty bad trying to comfort somebody going through something. And I tried to look on the bright side. I mean, I'm a look on the bright side kind of guy. Look at the silver linings. Look for the bright side of things. And at least it's not this. That didn't help. And it turns out that like almost never helps. Comparing your troubles or someone's troubles, for me to compare your troubles to someone else's and say, at least it's not worse, does not help. And when Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, he starts it off with his normal salutation, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, under the church of God, which is at Corinth. Verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That Paul was saying, I have been comforted in my tribulations, in all of my tribulations. And it was for a purpose. It wasn't only for Paul's purpose. Paul was benefited by that comfort. No doubt about it, the comfort first and foremost that God gave Paul in all his tribulations benefited Paul. But it wasn't only for that. He says it so that he and the other apostles, when he says are and we, he said, so that we can comfort other people in any trouble. Notice the difference. Paul says, I was comforted in all of my tribulations so that I can comfort someone in any trouble. And again, say, but I haven't been through all the same troubles as some others. And Paul said, that's not what matters. See, because he's not going to comfort you with the comfort that he came up with on his own in his tribulation. He says, he's going to comfort those in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So in other words, he's not saying, I tell you what, I've got the fix for you. I've been where you are. Paul didn't say that. He said, I've been where you are, or worse, I've been in worse places than you are. Paul's not trying to hold up his tribulation so you will know the steps to take in your tribulation because they're the same. What he's saying is the help, the one that comforted him. That's the one that he's pointing you to. That's where all the comfort, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, so that we can comfort those in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So when Paul is talking about the comfort that he received, he's saying, I am pointing you to the one who can and does help in any trouble, any. And it's not that I've been there so I can tell you what to do. It's I have been delivered and I can point you to the deliverer, the one. So when we get to our text that I woke up this morning thinking of, when Paul says, for our light affliction, there's one thing I want to point out. He's not saying for your light affliction. He's not. He is owning this. So when he is saying it's light, he is not trying to belittle your trouble. He's saying, my trouble, I have reckoned something. We heard this last night, but it's going to get repeated today. He's that I have reckoned something. Paul writes that in the 8th chapter of Romans. I've thought about it. I have considered my afflictions, Paul says, and when I really measure them up, not against other people's, but against the Lord, my Savior. When I take my afflictions and I measure them up with the one who suffered, bled, and died for me, they're just light afflictions. They are just momentary. They are temporary. They are not going to last forever. And Paul is looking at his troubles that way. Now, he is recommending that you put your eyes the same place he's putting his eyes, but he's not telling you, he's not saying, for your light affliction, which is just a moment. I've messed that up before. I have told someone, you know, I know you're going through troubles, but it's not that bad. That is not Paul's message, but his message is, my troubles, when I think of what the Lord has done for me, then it melts away. It just melts away. But something gets replaced in its place. And so when he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, I want to point out he is not saying that God is bringing these afflictions on you to bring about some other good. He is not. God is not the author of all the troubles in our lives. Now, does God bring some on me for chastisement's sake? Yes, I've felt it. I have felt the terror of the Lord. And in the next chapter, Paul will say such as well. Knowing therefore, brethren, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We heard last night about this. Yes, the Lord can afflict me, but for chastisement's sake, not for my destruction. But this is not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about God's bringing afflictions on him. He's talking about the afflictions he has borne in his ministry for the sake of the gospel and the sake of God's people. If you go above where he's writing this, this verse, he talks about that. He talks about how God had given him this ministry, how he faints not in it, and that he preaches it, commending himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then he talks about God shining the light of Christ in their hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have, this is verse 7, but we have this treasure, this ministry, this gospel, this service to God in earthen vessels. We have this beautiful treasure in these flawed earthen vessels. He says that the power, I've lost it and I can't read it, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I've been perplexed at times. Been troubled at times. Recently at times. And when I look at the trouble, or I think on the perplexing nature of life and what exactly I was going to do next, Paul says, I'm not distressed by this trouble. I'm not in despair by the perplexities of life. He goes, persecuted. I've not been persecuted. I won't even pretend that I've been persecuted. I won't make an analogy like, you know, I had a little persecution. Someone kind of made fun of me about what we believe. It's not even close to what Paul's talking about or what he's gone through. But Paul says, my persecutions, he says, but I haven't been forsaken, but not forsaken. Cast down. Have you ever been cast down? I've been cast down. Feel like I just don't know if I can go another step at times. Paul says, but not destroyed. And then he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He says, I consider the death of my Lord for me. I bear that about. I walk about as one who has been made alive by the one who died for me. In the fifth chapter, he'll say this. He'll say, for the love of God constraineth us. For we have thus judged, if one died for all, then all were dead. Jesus died for those that were dead in sins because it required a death. And he goes, and that he died, that they that live would not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Paul says, I'm bearing about the dying of the Lord in my body. I'm walking about as one who has been saved by the death of my Lord Jesus Christ, but also has been helped daily by the living Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that makes intercession for me. He says because he says that we're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We are living children of God. We're made spiritually alive. We are to walk unto him that did die and rose again for us. And then he says, he says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, he was talking about his apostleship and his sufferings and that he's gone through. And later in this letter, in the 11th chapter, Paul would say a little list of some of these, so we call them light afflictions. And they don't sound very light to me, to be honest. It's in the 11th chapter, and I'll just read a little bit of this. And Paul's saying this, he says in parentheses, "I speak as a fool." So he's not bragging, but he's kind of bragging. I mean, he's bragging in a way to show people how foolish it is to brag. He's like, if you want to brag about something, I'll brag, but I'm a fool. He's like, I'm speaking foolishly here. He's like, I don't recommend you use this type of message. Paul can do this because the Holy Ghost inspired the words of God. I am not going to pull a Paul and say, I'm going to start talking about my afflictions. That's not for you. It's not going to help. But I can go to Paul, though, and I can say, here's one I can tell you about his light afflictions. His light afflictions. Yeah. So he says in verse 30 or 23 of chapter 11, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Those are not like commendation stripes. Those are stripes laid on his back in punishment or by people who are brutal men. In stripes above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. You know, he says of the Jews, 5 times received out 40 stripes, save one. That's 39 stripes. You know why? Because it was like, that's the limit. There would have been more, but the law said they couldn't do it. So they had to stop. 5 times. That's a lot of stripes. I'm not going to do the math. Thank you, Brother Phil. That's a lot of stripes. Thrice, 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Again, this is the Apostle Paul. Once, I was stoned. And by the way, when he was stoned, he was left for dead. They thought they killed him or they would have kept throwing stones. And you know what he did? He got up. He went right back into the city he had just been taken out of and preached Jesus Christ again. He says, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things which are without, the outside problems, he goes, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
You know, pray for your ministers and pray for your pastors. There's a loving burden that is upon you all by these men that want to preach the gospel to you. They think about you. Lying awake at night, praying for you. Sometimes in ways you don't even know. It's a burden. But oh, it's a joy, but it's a burden. Paul, he labels that along with his afflictions. He's not saying he wishes he didn't have it, but he is saying that it's something that comes on him daily. Daily, the care of the churches. He says, who is weak, but I'm not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And he goes on, I'm not going to, I'll just keep reading, because it's only 3 more verses, but in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, king, kept the city of Damascenes with the garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket, I was let down by a wall and escaped his hand. He goes, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I've gone too far with all of this foolish boasting I've done. I'm trying to make a point. He goes, I'm going to move on. He goes, I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He goes, I'll tell you what he's saying here. There were people that were boasting to the Corinthian church about their visions and their revelations. He goes, you want to talk about that? I'll talk about that. But here it's a step too far. He cannot do it in the first person. He goes, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or not in the body, or I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He goes, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmity. So what he's done, he goes, you want to talk? You got people who are boasting in their visions? I'll tell you about a vision. I knew a man once, guys, it was Paul. He could not boast that far. He couldn't say, I had these visions. He goes, I knew a man, and this is what happened. I don't know if it was in the body or out of the body. God knows. He goes, but this I do know. He's like, this man, me, Paul, he goes, I heard things in paradise, in heaven itself. He goes, I just can't tell you. It's unlawful for man to utter. Like, I heard things. You know, I'm amazed at the concept of that, because I'll tell you, I have heard things today in the singing of these hymns that I don't have the words to tell you. But I'll tell you what it did do for me, and I think this did for Paul. It worked in him. A weight of glory. Remember what he said. He goes, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works something in you. It's not God using it to work something in you, but Paul's letting them work something in him. And you know how he's doing that? Because he's putting his eyes upward. He's looking unto the hills from whence his help comes. He's looking to the one who died for him and rose again and is seated in heaven itself. He's looking to glory. He's looking to paradise. He's got his eyes on where the Lord is. And that is how these afflictions work in him, this weight of glory. The weight of glory. The word weight there is like a burden. And the afflictions are like a burden. But Paul is saying, what I'm doing is, instead of bearing this burden, I'm letting that go and I'm taking on this burden and longing for paradise, for glory, for heaven. He's doing this by a reckoning, by a consideration of the two things. He's doing it by, as we heard yesterday, a comparison, as it were. But then he's saying, it's not worthy to be compared. Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This glory that he had a vision of, this glory that he heard things that he couldn't even tell you about, but he sure reckoned on it. He sure thought about it. And he said, that makes all these afflictions light. Because this other weight is so heavy. And notice that it works in him not just a weight of glory, not just a burden of glory that is removing the other one, but he says that it is a exceeding weight of glory. He said that, I got to get back to it so I can find it, that an exceeding weight of glory. So what's an exceeding? I think it's exceeding the light afflictions that he's allowing to be cast off while he casts his eyes on the Lord. It's exceeding it. But he says it's not just exceeding it. He goes, and when it's working, when he's looking, he goes, it's a far exceeding. It's far exceeding. It reminds me of that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. When we think about what the Lord did for us and where we're going, when we take the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and like the song said this morning, when we think about that day that's coming, it can remove, for just maybe a little while, it can remove the burdens of these afflictions, and instead it gives us something that far exceeds it. A weight, a burden, a longing for glory, a desire to go and to be where He is, and a knowledge and a hope that we will be there. Gives us something that far exceeds these afflictions. But it's not just that. Not just exceeding. Not just a far exceeding weight of glory. He goes, it is a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because you know what? Whether you feel it or not, that glory is eternal and it is yours. There's something to be said, and there's something that to benefit from actually laying hold on eternal life. But whether you lay hold on it in this life or not, it is bought, paid for, and preserved in the work, the person of Jesus Christ. He will bring you home to heaven. But my friends, lay hold on it now. Lay hold on it now. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. There's the key. That's Paul's. Let me say this. That's Paul's advice for you in your tribulations, whatever they are. Those things are seen. Those things are what we're dealing with. They're real and they're a burden. But look to the things that are not seen. Look to the things that are eternal. Look to the home where God is going to bring you someday. And then let that unburden you just for a little while. Because He does say it's but a moment. Our light afflictions, which are but a moment. Sometimes that moment seems so long. Sometimes that moment is long in our experience of life. But when we look at it in the sense of the eternal, everlasting, never, world without end, heaven that is going to be our home, then it is but a moment. It is but a moment. Again, the answer to comfort you with in your tribulations is certainly not me saying, I've been there before, but I'll tell you what, there is one who's been there before. Your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, He has been where you are. And not only has He been through all these troubles and has been tempted as it were like, as in every man yet without sin, no sin, but the Lord has hungered, the Lord has been forsaken, the Lord has gone through everything that you can imagine, and so far above that, but He's also going through it with you now. The Lord is with you in your troubles. He says, in Isaiah, He says, I don't turn to it, I want to close. He says, when you pass through the fires, I will be with you. When the waters come, they'll not overflow you. Because I'm with you. He's with you in every trouble you're going through. And He's saying, I'm going to take you home. Yet a little while. I love this verse in Hebrews. It's quoted from about yet a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Until then, until He takes us to that paradise, let that weight of glory remove for a little while the troubles of this life. Keep your eyes on the hills from whence your help cometh. I pray that the Lord was in the matter. And Brother Tom, come to preach for us.